Good evening. I'm glad to be home. I'm very happy to be right here this afternoon. I've been traveling much of the weekend and so thankful to be able to worship with you this afternoon. It's been a sad day for me yesterday, sad day today, as we have listened to the news that has come to us. And I am so very grateful to be in the middle of a people who have such great hearts of compassion to reach out to families that are in such need. It just seems a bit overwhelming as we think about the losses in our congregation, in our community at the present time. And yet, as we think about our message tonight, it's a great night to think about blessings. God gives us unthinkable blessings. The last time I spoke about the hard way of the transgressor. And as I spoke there, someone suggested, and obviously a great idea, to follow up with the blessings that we have in righteousness. And as we think about those blessings of righteousness, I am assuming I have a PowerPoint somewhere. Maybe I don't. If I don't, guess what? It will work. There we go. We have a ton of blessings this very night. We have a lot of loss and a lot of sadness and a lot of hurt. But we have a lot of blessings this night because of what God has offered to people who follow Him. It hasn't been just this week or this month or this year, this century. It's been ever since God placed man in this world. When He created Adam and gave him Eve, blessings started coming. And they have continued to come. Man hurts himself, and we notice the hard way of the transgressor. It is a very difficult path, and it will not end any better than the way of life for one who violates the will of God. But when we start thinking about this concept of blessings for righteousness, I would like for us to think about what is going on. Guys, this is not moving the slide. If you would check on that, thank you. Maybe it'll move the next one. Isn't technology fun? You know, some days you get up here and everything works just right, and you think, man, I want to be in control of those slides. And the next time you get up here, somewhere between here and that little machine up there, things don't work right. And that's frustrating for you, isn't it? Well, it is a tad frustrating up here, too. But guess what? Life frustrates us some days. And here we go. Want to think about righteousness. What is righteousness? Someone in the congregation, when they saw that I was going to talk about blessings in righteousness, I received an email and said, you know, sometimes I'm not sure we understand what righteousness is. It seems to me it's a fairly simple definition, but if you look at the meaning of righteousness, it is a behavior that's characterized by uprightness or morality. When you talk about morality, you're talking about right and wrong. You're talking about good and bad. And you want to do that which is upright in your character, in your life. If you look at righteousness, it is righteous conduct. It is the quality or the state of being right and being just. In our case, it is just plain doing that which is right. And we read God's message, and that's where we determine what is right and what is wrong. So we need to understand that righteousness is just about doing what is right. You read God's word, you see what you should do, and you do it. You see what you should not do, and you don't do that. And as we look at life, that sounds so oversimplified, but it's really not oversimplified. Is it hard? Absolutely, for every one of us. In fact, there's not a one of us that is righteous in and of ourselves. When Paul had given us this great picture of sin in the world, as he begins the book of Romans, tells us about the sins of the Gentiles, and then the sins of the Jews, and then the great conclusion in Romans 3, that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a person in this room that is righteous in and of himself or herself. Not one in the world, anywhere, is righteous on their own. There are many people in this room who are righteous, however, because righteousness is bestowed upon us because of our faith and our love and our obedience to God, we have that which is right before God. And so we look at righteousness as doing that which is right. And when we start thinking about blessings coming to those that are righteous, we're simply thinking about doing that which is right. I'm going to turn the slide movement over to you guys back there. Sorry about that. If it doesn't move, it doesn't move from this point on. So when we think about righteousness, in my email, the person that sent me an email had some suggestions for us to think about, and these are good suggestions. When we start thinking about what is right, it's what we do in our everyday life. It's choices that we make in our everyday life. When we think about righteousness, you think about how you deal with your family. How do you communicate with your family? How do you treat your family? How do you communicate with your friends and with the world, with people at work? The speech that you undertake is a part of what is considered to be righteous. As you think about any behavior that you undertake, that's what we're talking about. And when you think about that, the person wanted us to think about the church. What about the church? What about God's family and the behavior that we undertake in God's family? And that is coming together with regard to attendance. The Bible teaches us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Is it a right thing to do to worship God when the body comes together as God's family to worship? Obviously, that is a right thing to do. And there are many avenues of service as we worship here. There are many avenues of service as we leave. We are given the opportunity to feed people that are hungry. We're given the opportunity to clothe people that don't have clothing, to visit people that are sick. There are many, many ways of serving the Lord. We couldn't mention them all, perhaps, if we had a slide full of them. But this list is important to us as we think about the work in the kingdom of God. As we think about this opportunity to let the message of Christ, to let the life of Christ be seen in the way that we choose life. That's what righteousness is going to be. So as we think about this definition of righteousness and we think about this concept of righteousness as it relates directly to our work and our lives in the kingdom of God, the next slide I've just pointed out some blessings. Here are some blessings that Psalm 1 points out to us. To me, some pretty specific blessings. Some pretty significant blessings. When I think about my life, I want to enjoy life. I don't like being sad all the time. There are some things about which we ought to be sad. There are some things about life that ought to hurt us. But I want joy in my life. And God promises joy to people that are willing to do what is right. And that joy comes to us when we refuse to listen to people, we refuse to listen to the devil as we live life. When we look at the word walk in the Bible, you can rest assured it's talking about the lifestyle that you are living. We don't need a lifestyle that walks in the counsel of the ungodly, that will stop and stand in the ways of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. We cannot have a joyous life in Christ when we live that lifestyle, listening to that kind of counsel. It is when we reject that. And the second thing is we delight in the law of the Lord. What really makes you feel good? What really brings you joy? As you stop and think about that, some of you, it's music. Some of you, it's rest. Some of you, it's working in a garden. Some of you have your jobs that you love so much, that brings you great joy. There are so many things that bring us great joy, but when we want to know what is right and we want to do what is right, we are going to enjoy the Word. We're going to enjoy learning about what is right and then providing that for our lives. And then we're going to think in a right way. We think in the wrong ways often, don't we? We are always so worried about things. We worry about our children when they leave us. And if they're driving, there's a double worry. And those of you that are university students, your parents think about you on a regular basis. And they are concerned about you. They're concerned about your choices. They're concerned about your lifestyle. We're concerned about our parents, those of us who still have parents that are living, and especially people who have older parents that are living, whose health is not what it ought to be. We consistently express concern and worry, but we need to think about even those things in the right way. And as we meditate on the Word of God and the law of God, and we need to be thinking and meditating both day and night, this text says. So we want to do that. That is a great blessing, to be able to meditate on God's Word. Think about the circumstances of our weekend and the loss that we've incurred. Isn't it encouraging to meditate on the blessing of God's Word and to think about the end of those that are righteous as we study? And we can meditate on that. We can think about that, and it brings us great comfort and even some great joy. What an unbelievable blessing that is, to be able to delight in the law of the Lord, to meditate on that law day and night. And then, as you look at verse 3, the text teaches us that we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We can be established, planted. That's God's design for us, to be firmly rooted, firmly grounded, as we delight in the law of the Lord and we meditate on that law of the Lord, to be grounded in it, to be planted like a big tree. You're not going to push a big tree over easily. It's going to stand firmly. And that's what God wants for us in His kingdom, to not be swayed by the things that come to us in life, to cause us to leave God behind, to cause us to leave His family, His people behind us. And if we delight in the law of the Lord and we meditated on it day and night and we are loving that, what a great blessing it is then that God will plant us with deep roots. And we can take anything that comes our way in this life. I don't know how many times I have been with people who were told of a terminal illness they had. And then that life passes from us, and those really close will say something like, "I just can't go on." God says, "Yes, you can. Because you're firmly planted, you can stand that. You can withstand that as you come, and you are going to be established in the same way this great tree is as it is planted by the rivers of water." And then, because of that firm planting, no matter what comes, no matter the difficulties that we face in life, one of the great blessings is God will permit us to produce fruit in our lives. We can be what God wants us to be, and we can do what God wants us to do. What an amazing blessing. It doesn't depend on you or me altogether. God is going to be with us, and He will be the one helping us as we choose to produce fruit in our lives. What a great blessing that is. And then we think about the beauty that comes to us as we think about fruit, as we think about the production of fruit, as we think about the vegetation. I am so excited about daylight savings time today, not just because I lost an hour, but what daylight savings time says to me is spring is coming, warmer weather is coming, the grass is going to grow, and I get to mow again, and the leaves are going to be coming out, and the flowers are going to be blooming. There's great beauty in all of that. I love it. I absolutely love it. And God says that's the way we can be when we delight in the law of the Lord, we meditate on it day and night, and we become firmly planted, firmly established, so that we don't let the things that go on in the world keep us from doing what God wants us to do and being what God wants us to be. Wow, there will be beauty. The leaf will not wither. Sometimes I tell the students in Bible class, you're going to be just like me. You're going to grow old. You've got a healthy body. You're young. You run and jump and play. And it's so exciting. Use that time. Enjoy that time. Because one day physically, if you are blessed to live, you're going to be like me. You won't care as much about running and jumping as you do now. You won't care as much about playing games. You won't care as much about the kinds of things that are going on in your life now. Because your physical person is going to change. But you know, one of the neatest blessings that we have, Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is that though our outward man is growing older and our outward man will one day decay, doesn't make any difference how young a person is in this room. They stay in this world over a period of years. They're going to grow older. That's God's design because he wants us to do what we need to do that's mentioned in this psalm, produce righteousness in our lives. And when we do, God will take us home to be with him. And we will be beautiful in the sense that we will not wither away. Our inward man is renewed every day. And so what God gives us is unthinkable blessings. The older we get, the better we can become in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of our spiritual growth and our spiritual well-being, because God designed it that way. He designed us to grow closer to him because he is bringing us to be with him one day. Will not wither. Don't you like that? And those of us that are growing older, we especially love that because we understand God's great gift and God's blessing for those who do that which is right. And then we are going to be successful. We're going to prosper. God is not talking about physical prosperity, physical wealth. That may come because God's laws of sowing and reaping are involved in that kind of thinking about prosperity. It isn't going to be just because we are God's children that we're going to be wealthy, but God is going to promise any one of us, regardless of how much we have physically, we're going to prosper. We will get done what needs to be done, and God will give us everything we need to accomplish anything that he has asked us to do. And so we're going to prosper. What a great blessing. There's not a person in this room, no matter how much loss you've experienced, there's not a person in this room but that can have that kind of prosperity with God if you choose it. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. And then as I move to what is the last slide in this particular message, here's the ultimate blessing. God has shown us that those who are unrighteous, those who do not listen to what God has to say, they're not really ready to enjoy the Word of God. And they will not meditate on that Word. And they will not be firmly established spiritually. There will be no fruit. And their spiritual lives will wither away. And they will not prosper. The sad thing about that is the physical look is so deceptive at times. And we think that people who are prospering in this world in a material way sometimes, how well off they are. And if we aren't careful, we'll envy those people when they are reaching out for the wrong kinds of things in life. But God gives us the opportunity to reach out for righteousness and to perform righteousness in our lives. And he tells us that it's the chaff. It is that group of people who do not care about the work of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that will be blown away. The chaff is just going to disappear. It's useless. John the Baptist gave us some teaching about that over in the book of Matthew when he started talking about the Lord coming and the Lord is going to baptize in a different way than John the Baptist baptized. John said, I baptize with water, but the Lord is going to come and he will baptize with water and with the Spirit and with fire. And when we start thinking about that, he tells us about the chaff being blown away and piled and burned. But the lost do not feel that here in this world very often at all. But they're going to fall in judgment, God says in this wonderful psalm. But God knows the way of the righteous. I might not ever know about the righteousness that is in your life. The elders may never know about the righteousness that is in your life. There are many people in this room that do things that very few people, if any, know about. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows the righteousness of every one of us. And as we think about blessings tonight, it comes when we do that which is right. The blessing of the righteous. The ultimate blessing is to be with the Lord forever, because He knows the way of the righteous. And so we sing to encourage people to think about their lives and the blessings that are coming to you. Are you only enjoying the physical blessings that God offers to us here in this world? Great, great physical blessings that we enjoy. But those will be nothing without the spiritual blessings. And so Jesus says, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If we take upon us the yoke of Jesus, He will give us rest unto our souls, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light, but the burden of sin is very, very hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so we're singing to encourage you, if you're burdened with sin, and you need to be born into the family of God to have your sins washed away, repent of your sins and confess Christ's name. Be buried with Him. What an unthinkable blessing you will receive in terms of forgiveness. And that birth into the body of Christ, you are a son of God or a daughter of God because of your faith and obedience in Christ. We want you to do that. And that's why we're going to sing. If you're a child of God already, but you have left God behind and you've started forgetting that word, you don't think about it the way you should, you don't behave the way you should, our encouragement is to come home. Come home to the Lord and to be faithful to Him. That's our hope. That is our goal. And it is our prayer that you will come if you have a need as we stand and as we sing.